Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Sports fans easily engage in heated discussions defending their favorite athletes or clubs. Each fan thinks he is right in his arguments and his opponents are wrong. Campaigning politicians debate among themselves and defend fiercely their point of view, being absolutely convinced that they are right and the adversaries are wrong. Among Christian believers also appear situations in which opinions clash and conciliation is not always a process straightforward. That was the case in the early Christian church. We read in the book of Acts chapter 15 verses 1 to 4. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. Some men, probably from the party of the Pharisees, came from Judea to Antioch and tried to impose Old Testament regulations on the recent converted Gentiles, that is, non-Jewish believers. They argued that circumcision is necessary to be saved. They insisted that before a person could become a Christian, he must keep the law of Moses, and the test of such compliance was circumcision. In Old Testament times, circumcision was a token of God's covenant with Israel and an indication that a man belonged to God's people. How could the argument about circumcision be clarified and appeased among the believers? Mediation is usually a good strategy, so the Church of Antioch sent a delegation to Jerusalem to settle the matter, Paul, Barnabas, and some other believers. They went to meet with the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. On the way, Barnabas and Paul passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria. They stopped at places they had been before to give encouragement to the believers. They shared the news how the Gentiles had been converted to the Christian faith. This brought great joy to all the brothers. Arriving in Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders. Paul and Barnabas reported to the church in Jerusalem all that God had done with them. This meeting of the church leaders in Jerusalem became known as the First Council of the Early Church. If we examine the development of the meeting, we notice the following steps in the agenda. 1. A general meeting of welcome and report. 2. A separate meeting of the leaders while the church was still assembled. And 3. A meeting of the apostles, the elders, and the whole assembly. How did the meeting get on? Acts chapter 15 verses 5 to 11 tell us. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. and he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. After Paul and Barnabas delivered their report about the conversion of non-Jews to the Christian faith, the matter of circumcision was discussed. Some of the believers attending the meeting strongly defended the necessity of circumcision in order to be saved. Those defenders belonged to the party of the Pharisees. They believed that Gentiles must first become converts to Judaism, obey the law of Moses and be circumcised, and then they would be eligible to be saved by faith. Usually, the discussion of controversial issues in a numerous assembly is little productive. Hence, a separate meeting of the apostles and elders was arranged. There, the matter was discussed in depth. Peter appears as leader of the meeting. He argued that the Gentiles heard the gospel and believed. He spoke of his own experience in the ministry about a decade earlier. God had sent him to preach to the Gentiles. God knows the heart, Peter said. He knows the true inner being of a person. Peter continued to say that God made no distinction between Gentiles and Jews by giving the Gentiles the Holy Spirit. God desires the salvation of everybody. Imposing circumcision to the Gentiles would be an attempt to put God to the test, which never should be done, Peter said. God had made his acceptance of Gentiles evident. Laying additional requirements on the new converted believers for full acceptance into the fellowship would be an affront to God. Requiring circumcision would place an unnecessary burden on the necks of the believers. After all, salvation for both Jew and Gentile is a free gift of grace in Christ. We are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, Peter insisted. What was the reaction of the assembly in face of what they heard? We read in Acts chapter 15, verses 12 to 21. And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that was fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old.' Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. For from ancient generations Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." The assembly listened to the speech of the Apostle Peter and took to heart the report of Paul and Barnabas about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles. All the assembly was impressed and fell silent. Then James spoke. He was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, who was a leader in the church of Jerusalem. First, James referred to Peter's argument. here called Simeon, his Hebrew name. Peter told the assembly how God saved Gentiles by taking from them a people for himself, a new community largely made up of Gentiles, but including Jews as well. Then James argued on the basis of the Old Testament, especially from the prophet Amos chapter 9, verse 12. This text confirms God's intent to save Gentiles. Gentiles would be called by the Lord's name, along with the faithful remnant of Israel. After all the argumentation, it was time to make a proposal to the assembly. James took the lead and came up with a proposal. He insisted in the proposal that no difficulties should be imposed to Gentiles becoming Christians. Circumcision was not required for salvation, but James laid down four stipulations. These concerned aspects of life in which the Gentiles struggled and by which the Jews felt offended. The observation of these stipulations would help both the individual believer and the relationship between Gentile and Jew. What were these stipulations? They involved divine directives that the Jews believed were given before the law was given to Moses. They concern the following: food polluted by idols, sacrificed to idols, sexual immorality, a sin taken too lightly by the Greeks and also associated with certain pagan religious festivals, meat of strangled animals, thus retaining the blood that was forbidden to be eaten, and blood. The consumption of blood was expressly forbidden in Jewish law. According to the scriptures, obedience to the ceremonial law was never intended to be a requirement for salvation. Neither is it a precondition for acceptance in the church. James acknowledged that Jewish Christians are free to continue in these ancient practices, but asked Gentile believers to abide by these stipulations so as not to hinder the faith of Jewish believers. Mutual respect in matters of conscience is the rule. Later, the Apostle Paul would declare, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up." These are the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Even though Christian freedom allows us to do certain things, we will refrain from doing them if they cause offense to the faith of someone else.
Arnold Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere and newcomers are always welcome.
Once the church council reached a conclusion on the matter of circumcision, the believers of Antioch needed to be notified. This is what we read in Acts chapter 15, verses 22 to 29. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, with the whole church, to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter: "The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements: that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality, If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. The meeting of the small group of apostles and elders reached a conclusion and reported the same to the whole assembly. The decision of the council was written down in a letter addressed to the community of Antioch. But instead of sending the letter in the common way, two men especially chosen would take it and deliver it in person. The men chosen as bearers of the letter were Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, both leaders of the Jerusalem church. They accompanied Paul and Barnabas. They represented the church of Antioch. The letter explained that circumcision was unnecessary for salvation, because salvation is through the grace of God in Christ Jesus and received by faith. Recommendations were made to abstain from food sacrificed to idols and from blood and from sexual immorality. How was the letter received by the church of Antioch? Acts chapter 15 verses 30 to 35 tell us. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. When Judas, Silas, Barnabas, and Paul arrived in Antioch, the church was called to a gathering and the letter was read. The believers were glad because of the encouraging message the letter brought. Judas and Silas, as representatives of the Church of Jerusalem, encouraged and strengthened the brothers. Matters had been settled. Peace and harmony reigned again. Judas and Silas had accomplished their mission successfully. Now they could return to Jerusalem. The Church of Antioch gave their blessings of peace to Judas and Silas, and they departed. Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch and continued teaching and preaching. Through the word of God, the members individually and the church as a whole were built up, made steadfast in faith, and were guided in Christian living. What can we learn from this episode? At least the following lessons. First, the church is a fertile field for false teachings. The devil is an expert in sowing weeds among the good seed. Lack of thorough study of Scripture, misinterpretation, carelessness concerning doctrine, desire to please the public, these are factors that open doors for false teaching and misconduct. Studying Scripture carefully with the aid of reliable theological tools is the medicine to fight the infiltration of false teaching. A second lesson that we learn is, when differences in opinions raise their necks and clash, they need to be dealt with immediately and in fairness. All parts need to be heard respectfully, matters need to be examined in the light of Scripture by knowledgeable people and patiently explained. Sound interpretation of Scripture deserves to have the last word. And a third lesson that we learn is, Christian freedom shall be used with caution. Even if I can do certain things without transgressing God's commandments, I shall refrain from them if they cause others to stumble in their faith. Returning to the text in the Bible, we come face to face with a sad incident in the lives of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. This is what we read in Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul and Barnabas planned to go back and visit the towns they had been on the first missionary journey. But then a serious issue arose. Barnabas wanted to take along John Mark, who had been with them earlier for a period of time. But Paul disagreed. Why? Because John Mark had withdrawn from Paul and Barnabas in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. John Mark turned home at Perga and did not continue traveling to Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derb. For this reason, Paul thought it would not be wise to take this man along. The dispute became so sharp that Paul and Barnabas separated from each other. Long-standing work companions clashed in opinion and sadly broke up fellowship. Barnabas associated with John Mark, whereas Paul picked Silas as work companion. From the present instance onward, Barnabas and John Mark do not appear again in the book of Acts. However, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, Paul mentions Barnabas and praises him for setting a noble example of a man who worked honestly to support himself. Also in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, a scene in Antioch is described that includes Barnabas. Later, when John Mark returned from his work with Barnabas, he became associated with the Apostle Peter. During Paul's first imprisonment, Paul mentioned John Mark in his writings. By the end of Paul's life, he came to admire John Mark so much that he requested him to come and stay with him during his final days. But for now, Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. This island happened to be the birthplace of Barnabas. Meanwhile, Paul chose Silas and went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. At the end, the disagreement worked out for good. From a conflicting situation, two missionary teams were born that traveled to many places proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. None of us is exempt of being drawn into conflicting situations. Sometimes little matters, differences in opinion, interest, and objectives can put us in confrontation with others. Honesty, humility, understanding, and patience fall in place when dealing with conflicts. We tend to see the speck that is in somebody else's eye, but do not notice the log that is in our own eye. The way to deal with conflicts is to acknowledge our own faults, to repent of them, and to ask for forgiveness. At the same time, we shall be willing to forgive those who have offended us. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray for the forgiveness of our trespasses and, at the same time, to forgive those who have trespassed against us. Jesus Christ is the true mediator of conflicting parties, and He is the source of forgiveness. Scriptures say, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace." Words from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, and "As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Words from Colossians chapter 3, verse 13.
The study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.